Hello everyone, how are you doing, all right? Nice to see your smiling faces. Well, we're going to be exploring the theme of love. Now, last week we looked at love does not fail, and we saw that love is a choice. And our primary example of that choice was Jesus, who did not fail us in the Garden of Gethsemane when he had the choice to go all the way to the cross or to look for another way and not provide salvation for us, forgiveness for us. He actually didn't hold back. He went all the way. He didn't let us down. And as he said to his disciples, man has no greater love than this, than he should lay down his life for his friends. And we are talking about agape love. And there's three types of love in the scriptures. There's a love called filial love, which is a fondness, a brotherly love, a friendship. There's agape love, which is a sacrificial love. And of course, there's another type of love, which is eros love, which is a sexual love. And we were talking last week about this divine love, this agape love. It's a heavenly love that comes into our hearts. And Jesus says, this new command I give to you, love one another as I have loved you. It's the divine love of God moving through our hearts, and we saw that love often wasn't, it's not always a feeling, but it is a choice, and it sometimes works itself out in sacrifice. But the great thing about the sacrifice is that there are always great joy and reward. It says in the scriptures that for the shame, for the joy set before him, he did not despise the shame of the cross. He went through the sacrifice because at the other side of it, there was the joy. And love reaps its reward in our lives. And so we explored this powerful love that we have the privilege of living in, expressing, that is radical, transforming, and life-changing. The Bible shows the immense expression that a life centered on Christ expresses itself in a life of love. The only thing that counts, says the Bible, is faith expressing itself through love. That's an amazing statement. At the end of the day, our faith should result in not more knowledge, not a greater skill base, but a greater expression of authentic, life-changing, transforming love. The entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law. And so the goal of our faith, the expression of our faith, the outcome of our faith, how authentic faith in Jesus expresses itself, is love. Love for God, love for one another, and love for the world. And so today we're going to look at another phrase in that passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And it's this phrase. Oh, actually, one other thing I want to talk about the importance of love. My PowerPoint just reminded me. Is there's two really important things why we should love. John says that it is impossible to love God if we don't love one another who's made in the image of God. We are all created in the image of the invisible God. And it says, if we do not love one another, we cannot say that we love God. Now that's a real good reason for having a heart that chooses to mature and journey in love, that we may authentically love God. The other very important reason why we want to grow in love is that it is essential for our personal well-being and quality of life. Our wholeness and personal happiness actually depends upon your capacity and my capacity to love others. The way I like to illustrate it is this. Your body was designed to be active. It was designed for exercise. It wasn't designed for passivity and to be inactive. And when we are inactive, our muscles deteriorate, our heart doesn't pump the blood around our body so well, our lung capacity reduces, our joints stiffen, and actually we find that the quality of our life deteriorates because of inactivity. But the more active we are, the fitter, the stronger, and obviously the quality and experience of our life increases. That's because your body was designed to be active. It was designed to do something. Your soul, your personality, created in the image of God, was designed for something. And it was designed to love others. And when we don't love others, what happens is that we become emotionally sick as human beings. We don't function properly. We become miserable, bitter, twisted by life's hardships, disappointments, and challenges. Love causes us to be resilient, whole personalities. You were created to be human and to love and give love, not just receive it, but to give love is a part of being human. God is love. It's what he does. He loves us. We're created in his image. Therefore, as somebody once said, do yourself a favor. Love your kids. Do yourself a favor. Love your wife. Do yourself a favor. Love your husband. Do yourself a favor. Love your neighbor. When Jesus said this, it is better to give than receive, he meant it. It is better for you to give it out than take it in. It is better for you. And your well-being and quality of life depends upon it. So let's explore the verse that I've been given today. And it's, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in truth. We see from that verse that actually that love isn't a free-for-all. True love, authentic love, actually has boundaries. And where there are no boundaries, like the bank of a river, when a river flows and there's no boundary, it actually causes chaos. So we're not, when we think about love, it's not like, oh, anything goes, let's ignore everything. That's actually not true love. It does actually have boundaries. But the people that we need to apply the boundaries of love to ourselves are me, ourselves. Let's look at ourselves first. And this verse challenges us to actually apply some boundaries if we're going to mature into authentic love. In other words, there's some things that we choose not to do. So it says, love does not take pleasure or delight in evil. Now, when we look at that word evil, this is the challenge of working with an ancient book or an ancient text, or because some words that we use in modern day language have a different meaning to us. And when we think of the word evil, we can often think of something very extreme. And we think, well, I'm not an evil person. You know, evil person. We have a whole list of what we would consider to be dark and evil and destructive. But actually, when Paul wrote this, evil wasn't the extreme word that we associate it with now. Evil actually was the everyday stuff of life. And really what it means by we don't delight in evil, this is what the text means. It means that we don't take delight in other people's misfortune. We're not taking pleasure when things go wrong for others. It doesn't delight in the hearing of others' failings, difficulty, sin, hardship. Love doesn't delight when those who hurt us get their just deserts. Now that's a challenge, isn't it? You see, when it says love doesn't delight in evil, the biblical definition applied to you and me is this. When somebody says something, does something, lets us down, wounds us, annoys us, hurts us, and they either prove to be wrong or something unfortunate happens, we go, They deserved that. And there's an attitude of heart and spirit of mind that's actually quite pleased. That is delighting in evil. And it's not the way of love. And of course, so therefore this boundary, this discipline, this thing that we don't do, and we don't give ourselves over to the pleasure of evil, delighting it, is something that the love of Jesus in us challenges us to walk and live in a different direction. So Jesus put it tremendously. He says, love your enemies, not just your friends. That's what love does. That's what agape love doesn't delight when those who hurt us get their just desserts. And I've got a great quote here, and it says this: love does not find pleasure in the hearing of others accused of sin and having it proved that they've committed it. It doesn't find malicious pleasure in the report that they've done wrong, or in the following up of the report and finding it established. Wicked people often find pleasure in this. How many of us have found ourselves delighting in evil, in the failings and in the misfortunes of others? So we have this radical call and this radical love that we're invited to express. You and I can do this, you know. We can live a different way. Because Romans says we have the love of God poured out in our hearts. The love of God is in us. And by faith and yielding as Christ yielded and choosing to live a different way, we can actually express a better way. As Paul puts it, a more excellent way to live. And it certainly is a radical way to live. Of course, the other way that delighting in evil can express itself is delighting or gratifying in the misery of others. And there's two things that I'd just like to touch on that I find a little bit concerning or disturbing, that provoke challenges for me, that can be quite openly gratifying within the Christian world. Not exclusively, but I hear it more and more. And it's things like, let me just give you an example. It's just an illustration of one. Take Big Brother, for example. I do have a difficulty watching Big Brother. I know lots of Christians watch it, but I have a personal difficulty. Let me tell you why. I find that watching Big Brother, for me personally, and this verse, don't seem to go very well in hand. Because the producers of Big Brother scour the UK to find the most unusual, relationally dysfunctional, hurting, emotionally damaged, wounded individuals they can, throw them all together for an excessive amount of time so that the nation can look at their dysfunctionality, their arguments, their pain, their discourse, and their life for the pure reason, for the pure goal of the observer's pleasure. I find that a challenge. Because if I'm honest with you, the times when I have watched Big Brother, it's really entertaining, isn't it? And it provides a real interesting conversation point. But I have found myself constrained not to watch it, even though it has the potential to entertain. Because I think it delights in the pain, this dysfunctionality, the emotional distress, and the misery of others. People bring into the Big Brother house their damage. And I don't know that deliberately taking entertainment from that is compatible with the love of Christ that just will not delight in evil, that is, delighting in the unfortunate circumstances of other people's lives, no matter how entertaining it is. That's just me. I don't know how you think about it, but I'm provoked by it. And of course, the other thing that provokes me is another thing I find increasingly popular amongst Christians. It didn't used to happen back in the day. is watching horror movies and occult movies and things to do with spiritual darkness and demons, whether it range from what is now popular entertainment of Vampire Diaries to something a little bit more, you know, yeah, you wouldn't be able to put it on mainstream television. Yeah, it'd be something you have to pick up in a DVD shop or something. But it's becoming, I'm amazed how many people say, oh, I watch this and I watch that. And I have, this is something that I'm personally provoked that I feel really concerned. I can't go into, because although it might be fantasy on the telly, there's a spiritual evil which is a reality behind it. And of course, the work of Satan, who is the arch enemy of God, and demons and spiritual powers that hate everything that is wonderful, good, and God has created, and Jesus hate it with a hatred and just want to kill and maim and destroy everything that God has made. For us to, for me to take delight in that, even though it's a created film, but it actually speaks of a reality behind it, I think, for me, that's incompatible with this verse, because to take delight in evil, I don't know how you feel about that. For it doesn't do it for me. So love takes no pleasure in evil. And when we read these verses, we can think, ah, that doesn't apply to me, because evil's a heavy word, and I'm not an evil person. But when we actually realize it, no, it hits Monday morning, or actually Saturday evening viewing time, it does have an effect upon our lives. Of course, more positively, I always get these verses, more positively, oh yeah, there you go, doesn't delight in people's misfortune. Yeah, I got to make sure I use the clicky thing. It does delight in something. It delights in truth. Now, truth has two aspects to it. It's that which is true, which we, in our minds, intellectually understand. That is a true fact, a fact that is true, a statement that is true. But truth is not always something that we welcome. You would think that we would delight in truth, wouldn't you? Because it does make sense to actually want to delight in truth rather than that which is false or erroneous or not true. You would think that. But there's something about us as human beings that actually we like the truth as long as it serves our purposes, as long as it feels good and it doesn't rock the boat too much or make me feel uncomfortable or provoke a challenge or a truth that is contradictory or challenging to what I want. So we have to remember that we're not completely unbiased here or objective. And there is a problem with human beings, that we don't always like the truth. Now, truth is associated with God, you see. Truth and Jesus are connected so closely together. So when he stood before Pilate, and Pilate says, "What is truth?" And Jesus says, "I am truth." And he said, "I am the way, the truth, and life." He is truth personified. He is truth in flesh. He is what truth is. The law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus. And so truth, Jesus and light are all connected. So when we say, oh, let's get the truth about this, what do we say? We say, oh, let's bring it into the light. Come on. Let's lift up, let's leave no stone unturned so the light can get under and we can see the truth of the situation. So truth and Jesus and light are all connected. And so John says this is the verdict Light has come into the world, speaking about Jesus, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were, what were they? Evil. Oh, it doesn't apply to me, this, you know, do not delight in evil. No, their deeds were evil. But the consequence of having an evil heart is that we don't really like truth when it provokes and challenges. And this is the human condition. This is me. This is me. I love darkness more than light. This is me. And light comes and provokes a challenge. And if I were to be left to my own natural condition outside of Jesus, I'd be saying to light, get out of here. So I can just do my own thing. And I don't have the provocation and the uncomfortable challenge of the journey to change. But light comes into the world. This is us. This is you. This is the human condition, that actually we like our darkness. And of course, talking to people about Jesus and coming to Christ, can I just encourage you, as you talk to people about Jesus, the people why people struggle with Jesus is not so much that they intellectually can't understand your reasons, your arguments, your defense for the faith, your apologetics, because there is a whole stack of evidence that makes Christianity incredibly credible and persuasive. Don't think that the reason why it's not working through as your witness because you haven't got the right words. Actually, most of us don't want to hear it because it provokes a change. So, but Paul says, love actually chooses, despite myself, I'm going to choose a better way. I'm going to choose the way of rejoicing in truth. It's not always easy because it exposes us and it's hard to take sometimes, but it is the pathway of love and transformation. It is the way of freedom and liberty. To love the truth about God and love his ways, love the truth about ourselves. Ouch, that hurt. Thank you, I think. But to love, say thank you, Lord, even though when I read that scripture, I heard that message, or a faithful friend came alongside me, or my wife, or my husband, or even my kids pointed something out, wow, that hurt, but I thank you for the truth that has the power to free me, change me, and transform me. That's choosing the way of love. Loving the truth about yourself, no matter how challenging. Loving the truth about others, and not the distortion that occurs so easily in our own minds. You see, there's another default mechanism that we go to, and it's this. We delete and distort. When we hear stuff from people, sometimes we delete what we find too difficult to hear or we don't want to hear, and we distort things that we see and hear, so it is exaggerated in our minds. And it can become very destructive relationally and cripple our capacities to love, because now we become emotionally distorted because we're distorting our view of people mentally. Now, the press do this all the time. Have you noticed how the press, just as an example, will pick up on a celebrity or something that's happened? They will exaggerate, that's distorting, something they've said or something they've done, often a soundbite or out of context. They will exaggerate it, and they will delete, not put in the text, and in the journalism, a whole load of other stuff that counterbalances the exaggeration or the distortion. Have you noticed that? How that happens? And that's, yeah? You go, oh, that's the press. No, we do that all the time. Husbands and wives do that. Kids in the playground do that. Bosses to their employees, employees to their bosses do that. We do that all the time. But to love is to say, Lord, I choose not to delete and distort, but become a rejoicer and a pursuer and a seeker of truth, that I may truly and authentically express this agape love. Finally, this word means to love truth is to celebrate what is good. You see, it's a twofold word, this truth. It is a factual truth. It's connected with God and light, but it also means to celebrate virtue and goodness. To love is to celebrate in others and all around us everything that is worthy of celebrating, to celebrate the good. Now, it's not very British, is it? To celebrate the good. Now, what we like to do is to celebrate the underdog, and then when the underdog makes some progress and they do some good, we like to knock them off their pedestal and find everything that's wrong with them. That's the British way. It's not the kingdom of God way. It's to delight in stuff that is worthy, to delight in virtues and to hold them up as a trophy, to delight and celebrate the kindness in others, the goodness that we see in others, the keeping of one's promises, faithfulness, courage, to celebrate when somebody forgives and doesn't take offense. That's a great victory. And say, well done. You are very godly in that moment, that you just didn't punch their lights out. Well done. Well done, you. That's what love is. It is to rejoice in the good stuff. It delights in truth. It delights in light. It delights in goodness. And the fact is, we can do this. And as we choose to do this, we begin to reflect what we focus upon, and the very things that we celebrate, the good stuff, we actually begin to see them powerfully expressed in our lives, because that which we focus on as human beings, we reflect. What are you reflecting on? Dale Carnegie was asked this question. He actually reproduced more millionaires in his organizations than anybody else. And he was asked this question, how come you can produce more millionaires than anybody else? He said this, I look for gold while others look for dirt. What are we looking for? The flaws, or are we celebrating the good stuff? Let us, as the church, as this church and as the church, let us walk the way of love. Let us be celebrators and lift up the trophies of grace and goodness and kindness, and it's all over the place, and it's sitting next to you right now. And let us be promoters of those. Let your light shine. So, when we do this, we walk in the footsteps of Jesus. And we demonstrate that there is a different kingdom. There is another way. Another way to live. Another way to do life. And to quote the Bible, as Paul says, I am going to show you a most excellent way, a better way to do life. A way that defies the world. A way that is not in keeping with the world's thinking or reaction, but it is the way of heaven. It's the way of another country, and you are members and citizens of that country. It's called the kingdom of God, and it is the way of love. It's more than a feeling. It's a decision on Monday morning. And you and I, because we have the love of Christ in our hearts, we can do it. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the greater, more excellent way, not to rejoice in evil, delight in evil, but to rejoice in truth. And Holy Spirit, I pray you will help us to express the way of love and make the choice, pay the price, but also reap the reward for the glory of God. Amen.